I have to add something to the last lesson that I gave an answer to a question that was asked regarding the verse I posted up above. Let me just get that back again. That's Romans 11:13. They said they understood that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles, according to Romans 11:13. But what about the body of Christ? Does he have anything to do with the body of Christ? Any position or authority in the body of Christ? And I listed some of the things the Bible says about it, that he's a minister in Acts 26:16, and in the same verse, he's a witness. And then he's called a helper of your joy in 2 Corinthians 1:24, one having authority for your edification, 2 Corinthians 10:8. And the care of all the body of Christ churches was given to Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:28. One I missed, an important one, is as, well, I better post it again. It's up there a little high. And Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's talking from these three people are writing it, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. And in chapter 2, verse 6, we find, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you. So he's talking, who's the we there? The we is those three men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, might have been burdensome as apostles, plural, of Christ. So Paul is one of those. He was an apostle of Christ, besides being the apostle of the Gentiles. He was an apostle regarding the body of Christ and the churches that were set up that believed the gospel that Paul preached and were saved into the body of Christ, sealed there by the Holy Spirit. All right, that I wanted to add because it's an important fact that I had missed. Sorry about that. Let's go on to the next verse, the next question coming up. Did Paul preach the same gospel for salvation that Israel's 12 apostles preached? And if you would ask 100 people on the street that question, probably 60 or 70 of them would say, what are you talking about? I never heard of Paul or Israel or apostles. Of the ones that would know anything about the Bible, though, well over half would say, yes, he preached the same thing. There's only one gospel in the Bible, of course. Everybody knows that. Oh, yeah? Well, let's check the Bible about that. Let's not leave the Bible out. If you think the gospel by which God saves people today was taught or even known before Paul's salvation in Acts 9, then you're benignly confused about what gospel will save you today. Some people try to claim that the gospel of God, events that occurred in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the gospel of salvation that Paul preached. Well, let's look and see what they preached. Look in Luke 18:33, and if someone could help me with these verses, the verse list on the website is posted for the 21st instead of the 20th. But excuse me again, just a moment, please. See if that holds. So Luke, we're up to, I got to get my poster here, call out the verses, Luke 18:33, and then verse 34 is next. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now, if it was hidden from them, they didn't understand it, they didn't know what he was talking about. Is that what they preached for the gospel all those years? All those months at least beforehand? So if a person is saved merely by Christ dying and rising again, then all people would be saved. End of story. That's not the gospel. That's the gospel of God. Yes, that's the facts about how God arranged it to pay for your penalty. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for your sins. And the facts about his death and his identity are what the gospel of God is. That he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. Talking about Jesus, I better name him. That's what this is, about the name of Jesus, his identity. And that he rose from the dead, those three facts. So Christ sent out 12 apostles to preach that the promised kingdom was at hand. Don't miss it, it's here, it's coming. You know, it's within your grasp. That's what the gospel of the kingdom was. That it's here, it's ready to be believed on. So Christ merely previewed the coming events to his apostles. He didn't send them to preach his death and resurrection for salvation. That's the crucial thing. He didn't send them for that before his death. So Christ didn't send out Israel's 12 apostles to preach something that they didn't understand. So what is it that they did preach? Well, we can look at Matthew 10, verse 7. Matthew 10, 7 says, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the gospel of the kingdom. You can look at it a little more detail in Mark 1:14-15. He says what the gospel of the kingdom is. The gospel of heaven. Let's see, gospel of the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, so when they preach it, here's what they say: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, they're supposed to repent from disbelieving that and believe the gospel. That's the gospel, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe it. So, they preached what Christ told them to preach, the gospel of the kingdom, for salvation. Christ had not told them to teach about his death and burial and resurrection. You know, people assume that. Preachers even assume that and teach their congregations that, and congregations go home thinking they've learned something. If you're going to learn something, learn it from the Bible, not from another person, not from me or anybody. That's why I'm trying to show these verses. So they were to preach that the kingdom was at hand. It was not the gospel or the good news that there would be a kingdom. That wasn't news. It was a dearly held treasure, a promise that they've treasured, a promise that God had made to them, that Israel would reign over the world with Christ on the throne, Messiah on the throne. The gospel, or the good news, was that it was at hand. That was the gospel. It's ready to be unveiled here. Just receive it. But they didn't. So, and that's not all. That was in Israel's program. He was bringing in the kingdom. The kingdom was to have rulership over the earth. And it was to take back the rulership of the earth from the God of this world that Percy was talking about. And that's in 2 Corinthians 4. First four or five verses are clear on that. That Satan has usurped the authority of this world, the rulership of this world, and he did it in the Garden of Eden there. Got Adam, that was given the dominion over this world. Remember, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, he was given the dominion of this world, and Satan got it away from him, got him to sin. So Christ gave the apostles, those 12 apostles of Israel, gave them power over and against the unclean spirits that were prevalent at that day, Satan putting up his front, trying to overcome the power of God, knowing that the Son of God was among the people now. And the Lord was casting all these demons, these devils out, because the kingdom was to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. But holiness demanded all these unclean spirits be gone, and he cast them out. That was one of the signs of the Messiah. And Israel, the Jews, needed a sign. So he was healing all manner of sickness and disease. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. We'll go through. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." So that's us. We're left out. Don't go into the way of the Gentiles. "And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." That was the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, the mixed breed that had been put back in the northern part of Israel. And then he tells them who to go to. He says, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Wow. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." So those are all kingdom-related things, kingdom-related information and instructions, all about taking back the authority, God's authority, on earth. There's nothing there about the heavens or about us being saved to heaven. That was still unknown. It was unthought of. It was nothing, you know, had nothing to do with anything in the Bible. Somebody talking about going to heaven would be thought of as a lunatic. There's nothing about that yet in the Bible, in the writings about going to heaven. They were promised the land. Remember? The land, and the dimensions are given from southern Turkey to Egypt and then eastward to the Euphrates River. A large area covered by many nations now. So, and remember, the Lord opened the understanding of the apostles to understand after his resurrection. It wasn't before. It couldn't have been what they preached before the crucifixion. That's not what their gospel was, the gospel that Paul preached. They preached good news with that same good news with which Christ sent them out, which, you know, was the gospel that the promised kingdom was at hand. You want to find out about that kingdom? We don't have to go there, but you can write them down if you're still wondering where that's coming from. It's Daniel 2:44, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and from Exodus 19, verses 3-8. But you can't find a single verse stating about Paul's doctrine of Jesus being saved by Jesus Christ dying for our sins or anything like that. You can't find that in Luke or Mark or any of Israel's apostles, what they preached or wrote, you know, that the Jews would be saved the instant they believed that Christ died for their sins and rose again for their justification. The Jews back then, I'm talking about, before they fell. So why do people resist believing the Bible as it is written? If a person is entrusting their salvation to what Luke and Mark and Matthew and John, what they preached, that person still needs to find today's salvation. Why do people resist what the Bible says? Probably because they don't take time to look, open the cover, you know, and start reading. Start in Romans and see what God has to say for people today, starting in Romans through Philemon. Some people insist on trusting their own understanding, or the understanding given to them before they could discriminate between Bible truth and the fables related to the Bible. Those people, at some time, they need to commit themselves to believe only what the Bible says, or else there's no help for them. If you mix in what preachers say, or teachers, or even parents, what your parents told you early on when that was all they knew, go to the source. Go to the Bible and find out. It's the most treasured thing we have. We have something from God in our hands. So besides examining and contrasting the content of the gospel of the grace of God with the content of the gospel of the kingdom, which we've just kind of done, there are two verses that strongly show there are more than one gospel of salvation in the Bible. Not right now, no longer, but during the Bible time there was. So right now there's only one gospel to believe, and that's that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, and believe on him. Put your faith in that fact for your need, for your situation, lost as a sinner. Come to him as a sinner, the way Paul was the first to do. The rest before him came as law keepers. But Paul came as a sinner, condemned, knowing he didn't have any right to live anymore, having blasphemed the Holy Ghost. All right, people that believe God and his word will receive these verses at face value. You know, those who resist everything that God says will find every excuse and every patch they can to destroy what God meant in these verses. Look at Acts 13. And we'll look at verses 38 and 39. And then we're going to look at Galatians 2, verse 7. But starting off with Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, brethren. I missed a couple words. Let me read it right. It's so important. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, there's two firsts there. Well, not two firsts, but through this man, he's talking about Jesus Christ, who he just described in verses 28 to 30 as having died, been buried, and raised from the dead. And then between verses 30 and 37, he describes the gospel of God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that he is risen from the dead. So he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And that's a first. Israel was offered remittance of their sins, the remission of their sins until Christ returned to blot them out. And that's still in the future when he comes to blot out the sins of Israel. That's their future day of atonement. But through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified. Not all the Jews that believe, but all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, do you see the contrast there? The previous gospel, the law of Moses was part of that. Circumcision, the whole works, they had to go through six or seven different hoops. They had to go through all these regulations, keeping the Sabbath. You know, there was a lot they had to do in order to eventually be saved if they endured to the end. Now, they believed. Let me put it this way: they were to believe. They failed at that one point. They did the works of the law, but they failed to believe that Christ had died for their sins. Well, that's not what... excuse me, that was a misspeak there. That's what people fail to believe today. But back then, before Acts 9, they were failing to believe that he was even the Messiah. They were failing to believe that their Messiah that had been promised had come, and that the righteous servant would bear the sins of many. So, all right, so that's the one verse, the one set of verses. Second one, Galatians 2:7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So you've got two gospels listed by two names given to two different groups. Paul and the body of Christ churches, and the that would be the gospel of the uncircumcision, and Peter and the Israel's 12 apostles, that would be the circumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. So look at again at the stark differences in the two gospels, the gospel of the kingdom, the circumcision, and the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision. And we're going to look for that in Ephesians. I'm going to go through several verses here. Some in Ephesians, some in 1 Corinthians 15, and then Mark 1:14 again. But Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13, we can see some things here. Let's go through. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So who were the ones that first trusted in Christ in Paul's ministry? They would be after Paul was saved in Acts 9. And they would be before the ones that later trusted during the prison epistles. So it would be the Acts period believers. And Paul is talking from that standpoint. He was saved there in Acts 9, and those that he traveled around on his missionary trips to, and that got saved by his preaching in Acts during that Acts period, especially between Acts 13 and Acts 19, they were we who first trusted. They were those who first trusted Christ. Then it goes on in verse 13 and it says, in whom you also trusted. That would be the later believers, the ones in the prison ministry, his prison epistles, and the ones he wrote to. That would be us. That's where we come in. That's you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Remember, Paul was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek with the gospel of Christ. Then he was sent to all men. You can read that in Acts 22, verse 21, when he was sent to all men. And it happened a little earlier than that, but it happened in Acts 20. But let me read the whole verse. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And there is a difference between the Holy Ghost coming upon those disciples, those ones that believed before Paul was saved, those Israelites. There's a difference between the Holy Ghost falling on them and the Holy Spirit sealing us, being the seal in our life and residing in us. You know, there's a difference there. It's the third person, so-called third, I don't know, first, second, it's one of the persons, one of the three persons of the Godhead, but whether it's the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit does make a difference in the application of what's going on. It was a power baptism of the Holy Ghost upon Israel, but for us, it's the sealing. He is the seal. It's not that he takes something and seals us with it. The Holy Spirit is our seal. So let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. And Paul clearly shows us what the gospel of Christ is during the Acts period, before we were even sent to, before Christ sent Paul to people like us, when he was only going in his synagogue ministry, you know, synagogue to synagogue. Getting my tongue twisted. Anyway, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So here's a gospel. Is it a gospel that will save them? Is that what he's talking about? Or just the gospel facts about who Jesus is? He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. So he's talking about a gospel of salvation. And how did they get it? It says, this was written in Acts 19. He had been in Acts 18, first half of 18, he had been to Corinth. And he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he preached them the gospel, and they believed it when he was there. And he's declaring it again now, this special gospel that was his only, that the Lord only revealed to him. Galatians 1, 11 and 12, read it. It verifies that. And he says, which also you have received. So they didn't just believe that those facts were true, that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. They needed it, and they acquired it. They took it to themselves. They believed it for themselves. That's what received is. It's more than just a mental assent. It's a transaction goes on. You acquire it to yourself. So he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. Well, they received it, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. It wasn't like Israel that had to endure to the end to be saved. They are saved. We are saved. Ephesians 2:5. And he says, if you keep in mind, now this is, remember, it's a gospel about how to be saved, not a gospel of how to stay saved. if a person ends up in hell, was that person saved? How can a saved person, I mean, God would have to be lying. You're not going to ever end up in hell, but whoops, you ended up there. No. If you're saved, you're saved. And these folks were saved. So what he's talking about is how to get saved, not how to stay saved. There's no such thing. If you're saved, you're saved. So how are they to get saved? Keep in memory or remember what I said, not what Peter said, not what James said, not what Jesus taught Israel only when he walked the earth. What I said, what I preached unto you, he says. Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So there's the belief that they received it to themselves. But let's go on in verse 3. For I delivered unto you that which I also received. That's that message. That which I preached unto you. That's what Paul received when it came to him. How that Christ died for our sins. It was for my sins and for your sins that he died. At that time, it was according to the scriptures. That because those Jews were all that he had preached to up to that time in Acts 19. Jews and those Gentiles that came to God on the basis of Israel's doctrine, coming to the synagogues, tithing, whether they were circumcised or not, they were coming to God through Israel's doctrine. Now, today it's no longer according to the scriptures, because we're saved and we're not in those Old Testament scriptures. That was the mystery, that was the secret that God kept secret and held on to until Paul. And when Paul was saved in Acts 9, the Lord Jesus Christ began revealing to him this means of salvation that we can be saved by. Israel had passed away. They had fallen in Acts 7, and they were no longer able to receive, eligible, I guess is the word I'm looking for, to receive God's immediate kingdom offer that was being offered. They had to wait like people through the centuries did before them. Wait until Christ returns. So, let's go on. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Same deal with that according to the scriptures. It was preached to Jews and Jew blessers, and not to the whole world. It was in the scriptures that Jews would have a sin bearer. Isaiah 53 didn't tell them how to acquire it, how to gain access to that redemption and the you know, to apply it to themselves. That's what our gospel tells you. Look at verses 1 and 2. That tells you how to acquire the benefits of Christ having died for your sins. Receive it. So the gospel of the kingdom is in sharp contrast to what we just saw as our gospel of salvation. And look again briefly at the gospel of the kingdom, Mark 1:14-15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, that's a different name. Either God is trying to confuse us, or there's a reason for the difference in the name. And there is a reason. Don't ignore it. The truth is that God is not trying to confuse you. He's revealing to you. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Maybe we should have started off with reading that about the kingdom there in Exodus 19:3-8. They were promised a kingdom, and Jesus came preaching the kingdom, that it's at hand, saying, the time is fulfilled, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe it. Believe that gospel, that the kingdom is at hand. They were to believe that the kingdom was at hand. And we just saw in Galatians 2:7, that they are different gospels. And I showed you the contents of the gospel of each of the two gospels themselves that are talked about and evident there in the book of Acts. So we looked at the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus said for Israel's 12 apostles to go and to preach, and we searched to see whether that preaching of the gospel of the kingdom included anything that Jesus Christ gave to Paul to preach. Did it? No, it didn't. You can see that it doesn't if you honestly investigate it. And we looked for anything about them being immediately saved from God's future wrath. Israel doesn't get an immediate salvation. They have to endure to the end, waiting for Christ to return in Acts 3:19 and blot out their sins. So, I mean, it's spoken in Acts 3:19. He returns at the end of the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week that was prophesied in Daniel 9. So there simply is no scripture that states that Israel's gospel of the kingdom contains any of the unique contents that is in Paul's gospel of Christ or the gospel of the grace of God today. So those two gospels are not described or defined in scripture as being the same, because they're not the same. And God did not want us to confuse them as being the same. God gave them different names. When people refuse to believe the words on the page of the preserved pure Bible, then there's no other help for them. Believe it. So, if we look at Israel's kingdom in a different way. After Christ and Israel's 12 apostles had preached the gospel of the kingdom for about 3 years, and after Christ had been crucified and raised from the dead, we read that only then did those preachers of the gospel of their kingdom come to understand that Christ was to have died and resurrected. Look in the last chapter of Luke 24. Then, this is verse 45, 46, and 47. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Do you hear that? Repentance for Israel. Remission of sins is Israel's realm. we believe and are forgiven once we're believers. So there's a difference there. His name, that's Jesus. Jesus, the promised Messiah. So it said in verse 47 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. That's referring to the gospel of God, identification of Jesus as the Messiah. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So you start at the center where Jesus was preaching, where the temple was, where He was crucified, where the Jewish religion was. And then, if you remember in Acts 1:8, it goes from Israel to Judah, that's southern, goes from Jerusalem, the city, city in the center, where it says here there to begin, then to Judah, southern Israel, then to Samaria, that's northern Israel, within the borders still though, and then finally the fourth thing, into all the world. But remember, Matthew 10:23, in Matthew 10 verse 23, the Lord had told them they're not going to get outside the borders of Israel until Christ returns. So it was only an Israel gospel. It's not the world's gospel. The world's gospel was given in Acts 9 to the first recipient, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he came and believed as a sinner. And the Bible says, Romans 11:1 tells us, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, how did Paul follow Christ? Not as a law keeper. He had to trash all that. And he came as a nothing, as a bankrupt sinner that had nothing to offer God. He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost for... committed the unforgivable sin. And yet Christ paid the penalty for that unforgivableness. Christ died Paul's death, Saul of Tarsus' death, on the cross. And I am crucified with Christ, and you are, if you're a believer. So let me find out where I left off in my notes here and get back to it. All right, well, they preached for 3 years and nothing was in there about Paul's gospel. We'd covered that. Christ had given Israel's 12 apostles something different to preach. It was related to and declaring entrance into the kingdom, coming out of heaven to earth. And those under the law before Israel fell that were believing and obeying the gospel of the kingdom gained them salvation into the land when Christ returns to earth, those that endured to the end. It's impossible to miss that the gospel of how to eventually be saved to an earthly kingdom is different from the gospel of how to immediately be saved to our house eternal in the heavens. You know, they're just different. People that say it's all the same, just haven't studied, or they're ignoring the truth, or they don't want to deny somebody that told them that, you know, and go a different direction, even if it is in God's Word written, you know, in ink on the pages that God gave us. He put it in writing. So let's just believe the words that God used in the Bible. Let's not doubt God. Let's doubt ourselves, doubt our understanding, doubt our experiences, but don't doubt God and His Word. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Let's believe it. All right, let's take another look at 1 Corinthians 15 again, and maybe it's just a different wording of what we just read in Mark 1:14 and 15. You think maybe it's the same still? Let's look at it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. When we get down a little further in the context, we'll see what gospel Paul is talking about. But here, Paul tells the benefits offered by God in this gospel. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And remember that phrase, which I preached unto you. Those are some of the most important words in Paul's explanation. What did Paul preach to them? Nowhere in Paul's epistles or sermons can you find Paul preaching for us to wait and receive a kingdom coming out of heaven to earth, and to believe that Jesus is our king in that kingdom. That's not our position. We are the body. Christ is the head. He's coming to take us to heaven, not to come and rule over us on earth. So, and you can see in that statement, you know, that in Paul's opening words of this gospel, in effect, Paul is saying, that which I preached to you in Corinth, I now declare to you again in this letter. So he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. That was their response. Those Corinthians did not reject Paul's gospel. Didn't say, oh, it's the same as what we heard from Jesus. No. They were listening to Jesus' new words through Paul. Paul had received them directly from Jesus. And they received Paul's words to themselves for their need of salvation. He says, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. And that's a big, big benefit. The importance of Paul's gospel of salvation. It saves you. Here, Paul lists two benefits of the receivers of that which I preached unto you, as Paul said. One, wherein you stand, and two, by which also you are saved. In Paul's next statement, he repeats that important phrase again, belief in which is the only, it's the only condition for receiving salvation. When choosing to receive God's salvation, keep in memory what Paul preached. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. It is vain to have believed a gospel other than that which Paul preached. And he goes on in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How can we know that Paul received it from Christ, that which he preached for salvation and which we heard and we believed? How do we know that's what came from Christ? Does the Bible tell us? Does it confirm that somewhere else? Or is it just Paul telling us? Well, Paul had scribes that wrote down his books. I forget their names right now. I know Luke wrote some. Tertius wrote some. But anyway, look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. They tell us the exact same information. And we'll look at that after these salvation verses that we're still in here in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. It was for your sins and my sins that Christ died on the cross. He didn't have his own sins. He never sinned. Just a moment, please. So, and the fourth verse then in 1 Corinthians 15, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, look at Paul's confirmation of where his gospel of salvation came from. In Galatians 1, verses 11 to 12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came directly from God. It came from God, not from man, not from Peter, not from James, not from John, you know, not from Lazarus. It came from Jesus Christ. All right, I'm done.